made all the right plans about getting in and winning the war, but we made no plans as to how to get out of Iraq. Well, well, I gotta tell you, I'm not here to talk about the war. I'm not here for that, no. I'm not here about talk about the war in Iraq. But still, I think there is a need for us to discuss a good exit strategy for us Christians today and how to get out of this world. You know, the most important is how we are going to leave this world. Thank you, and I'm going to turn back over to your pastor.
It's always a great privilege to have the President of the United States with us. He doesn't get home very often anymore. And I do want to discuss this matter of exit strategy, so would you please turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 5. Let's begin with verse 21. Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon this word today. We pray, Lord, that it would be a challenge to us and that we would plan ahead in how we are going to leave this world. Lord, I pray for Iola today, who's in the hospital. Lord, touch her, heal her, the broken wrist and the problems she's having with her heart. Lord, restore health to her. We thank you for her life and among us, the blessing that she is and will continue to be. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've realized it or not, but the life that you are living will not last forever. In fact, I can guarantee you that definitely your life will end someday. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells us, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Since it's true, doesn't it stand to reason that everybody needs a good exit strategy? I mean, we make all kinds of plans for our life. We put money aside for a retirement account. We buy insurance. We buy health insurance. We buy life insurance. We plan for this and we plan for that. But most people don't spend very much time planning on how they will exit from this world. Here are a couple of examples. Henry Ward Beecher was one of the most prominent preachers in the 1800s. You might have heard of his sister, Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. That book really was a key instrument in turning the tide against slavery in our country. They served God. But in later years, Henry Ward Beecher turned from his faith and embraced Darwinism. He wound up denying the deity of Jesus Christ and lived less than a glorious life. When he lay dying, his last words were, "Here comes the mystery." Now let me tell you today, that is not a good exit strategy. Queen Elizabeth I died in 1603. Her final words were, "All my kingdom for a moment of time." It doesn't sound like she had prepared a good exit strategy either. Our text today tells us about a man who knew how to leave this world. Enoch developed a great exit strategy. I want to look at what the Bible has to say about this little-known man because there are a few elements in his life that can teach us how to have a good strategy for leaving this world. So while the Lord gives us liberty this morning, I want to preach on that simple thought, good exit strategy. If you haven't taken time to consider how you will leave this world, boy, you got a great opportunity this morning to stop and consider this word to you today. There are three kinds of plans that you need to make so that you can have a good exit strategy when the time comes for you to leave this world. First of all, plan to exit this world saved. Plan to exit this world saved. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. It says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. It's interesting to me that the Bible tells us nothing about the early years of Enoch. All we know is that at the age of 65, Enoch became the father of a child which he named Methuselah. After that child was born, we are told that Enoch walked with God for the next 300 years of his life. What was it about the birth of that child that caused Enoch to come to faith in God? Something happened there. Something transpired in his life that made Enoch different. I think it might have to do with the meaning of the name of Methuselah. The name Methuselah means when he is gone, it will come. If you do the math, you will find out that Methuselah died the very year the flood of Genesis came. Apparently, Enoch was made to understand that the death of his son would bring about the destruction of the world. When his son died, the destruction of the world would take place. So, I mean, moms and dads, you get concerned when your child gets the sniffles nowadays. Can you imagine if you were Enoch and your child developed the sniffles? Old Enoch got nervous. Maybe this is the destruction of our world. But God used the birth of that child to open up the heart of Enoch. And God gave and changed this man's soul. It would appear that Enoch came to God under the threat of judgment. This is a blessing when you stop to consider that Methuselah may have been a symbol of approaching judgment. Every time Enoch's wife, every time their friends, every time their relatives, everybody that knew Methuselah saw him, they would be reminded that God was going to destroy the world. Now, they wouldn't all heed the message, but they were reminded of that. He was a living testimony to the threat of judgment. But it's also a blessing because when you hear the name Methuselah, what do you think of? Anybody? Long life, old age. In fact, Methuselah lived to be the oldest person in the Bible, right? So that demonstrates to us that God is long-suffering and God is gracious. God is patient. He doesn't want to send judgment. He wants people to repent. And it's the same in our world today. God is still long-suffering. He's patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Now, God uses the events in people's life to bring them to Jesus. Sometimes people are touched with when they think of hell. They think of the judgment that will come upon them if they leave this world without Christ in their heart. And they think of the torments of hell and an eternity of suffering. And that leads them to receive Christ as their Savior. Others think of the great love of God that was manifested on Calvary as Jesus died on the cross, shed his precious blood for our sins. And just the thought of that love and that sacrifice moves some to receive Christ as their Savior. Others think of loved ones who have died and have gone home to be with the Lord, and they are desirous to be with them. And so they receive Christ. Others have this overwhelming sense of guilt because of their sin. And they see themselves as sinners in need of a Savior. And they are drawn to the Savior. They are drawn to Jesus. The means that God uses to convict people and draw them to himself are wide. And there's a variety of reasons. And it really doesn't matter as long as the Lord is the one that's drawing them to him. What's important is that Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, draws people to himself. John chapter 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." If you're here today and you're saved, what is it? What was the reason that you came to Christ? What was the draw for you? For Enoch, it was the birth of a son. For me, it was the thought of dying lost and going to hell, to remain in my sin. It may be different for you, but the main thing is seeing your need of God and coming to Him for salvation. Do you want a good exit strategy for leaving this world? If you do, then be sure you leave this world as a saved person, one that has received Christ into your heart and into your life. That is the best way to leave this world. There is nothing like being saved, incidentally, not only for heaven's sake, but for now. Nothing like the feeling that knowing that you are saved and that your sins are forgiven and you have been accepted by God. So how does a person get saved? It's a simple matter. All that's required is a simple faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is coming to the place where you are willing to acknowledge yourself a sinner before the Lord, and you are willing to receive Jesus into your heart and into your life as your personal Savior. Here's the gospel in all its simplicity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God made it simple. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to go to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Are you saved? If you're not, would you like to be? You will leave this world someday. Therefore, you need a good exit strategy. I implore you to leave this world saved. Number two, plan to exit this world suddenly. Plan to exit this world saved. Plan to exit this world suddenly. Genesis chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." We are told that Enoch walked with God, and then he was not. He was there 1 minute, the next minute he was gone, for God took him. It has been said that Enoch walked with the Lord. One day he was walking so close to the Lord that the Lord said, "Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are yours. Just come and stay with me." Now, we don't know all the details of his departure, but we do know that the writer of Hebrews tells us that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. The word translated means to transfer. It carries the idea of being carried across. 1 minute Enoch was here, and the next minute he was with the Lord. However it happened, it surely happened suddenly and without warning. Of course, the writer of Hebrews also tells us that before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Perhaps God called Enoch home because he wanted to be near to one who pleased him so well. Whatever the reasons, Enoch left this world and he cheated death in the process. You know, we need to make plans to exit this world suddenly as well. I guarantee that when you leave this world, it will catch you by surprise. It will catch you off guard. It will come suddenly when you least expect it. I have friends that I went to school with that are no longer alive on this earth. One of my friends, the year after graduation, the summer after graduation, was electrocuted, went home to be with the Lord. Just a few years later, one of the guys that I played basketball with was in a motorcycle accident, age of 26, went home to be with the Lord. Listen, you don't know how much time you have. You can be here 1 minute and gone the next. Death can be very sudden. It can happen in a moment of time. You need to take the opportunity to make sure that you have a good exit strategy, to make sure that you are saved, and to make sure that you realize that it's going to happen suddenly. There are two ways to leave this world. Some people can leave it both of those ways, but a lost person can only leave it one of those ways. What are those ways? First of all, the rapture. Only the saved people can ever hope to leave this world by the rapture. The event is called the Blessed Hope in Scripture. Of course, I'm referring to the time when Jesus Christ will come back. He'll return in the clouds, and those who are saved and in their graves will be translated up to meet the Lord in the air. And then we which are alive and remain will also be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds. It's the blessed hope. It's what Enoch represents. He is the type of the rapture saint. I want to be a was not like Enoch. I don't know if it'll happen to me or not. I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime, but I would like to be here and gone via the rapture. The rapture will be something that is sudden, selective, serious, and sad. First of all, it will be sudden because there will be no prior warning. Jesus Christ could come back right this minute. The trump of the archangel could sound and the Lord could return. There will be no prior warning. Jesus will come and every saved individual will simply be gone. It will be selective because Jesus is coming back for his people and no one else. It will be serious because it will mark the end of the church age. And soon to follow will be a time of great tribulation, such as the world has never seen. It will determine where you spend eternity. That's a serious matter. It will also be sad because some will be taken and others will be left behind. Luke chapter 17, verses 34 through 36. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. If it happened today, would you go or would you stay? Would you be the one to go or would you be the one to be left behind? This whole idea of the rapture scared the daylights out of me one time when I was just a boy. I came home and nobody was home. I thought the rapture happened and I missed it. And I made sure in my life that I never wanted to ever feel like that again. And so I lived my life so that I was right with God, so if the rapture came, I wouldn't miss it. How about you? It pays to be ready if you expect to go to heaven in the rapture. The second way we leave this world is through death. Most people leave the world this way. Both saved people and lost people alike can and are leaving this world through the door of death. Death is coming. We don't like to think about it, but death will happen to every single one of us if the Lord tarries. When death comes, it rarely gives advanced warning. Even when disease has made the end inevitable, the exact moment of one's departure, it's always a mystery. Since death is coming, and since it is coming unannounced, it stands to reason that we should be ready for that moment. You may not know when death will come for you, but you can know where you will go when it does. If you are saved by grace, then you have passed from death unto life. John chapter 5 and verse 24. The words of Jesus again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Those people will go to heaven. If you are not saved and you are still in your sins, I tell you the truth lovingly today, you will go to hell. But you don't have to stay in that condition. You don't have to stay hellbound. If you come to Jesus, he promises that he will place his life within you. He promises that he will seal you with the Holy Spirit and give you eternal life. You pass from death to life. That's the way you want to exit this world. Be prepared to exit this world, whether it's through the rapture or through death. Realize that you need to exit this world saved. That's a good strategy. You need to come up on the possibility that you might exit this world suddenly. That's a very strong possibility. And number three, plan to exit this world serving. Plan to exit this world serving. Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him." We are told twice in those verses that Enoch walked with God. Now, this is not Enoch's testimony of his life. This is the Holy Spirit's testimony of Enoch's life. Enoch walked with God. He had a relationship with God. He had fellowship with God. He lived a life that was pleasing to the Lord. Now, we tend to use words all the time that we don't exactly know what they mean. And one of those words might be walk. We say a Christian walks with the Lord. What do we mean when he walks with the Lord? It's a biblical expression for fellowship and obedience that results in divine favor. Walking in obedience and fellowship with the Lord so that his favor is upon us. It's a manner of life that results in living in closeness or nearness to the Lord. This is the walk that Enoch had with God. An act of dedication and an act of devotion. It's a walk wherein Enoch lived up to the meaning of his name. The name Enoch means dedicated. He was dedicated to the Lord. And the Bible implies two things about his walk that needs to be noted. The kind of walk that Enoch exhibited is the kind of walk that you and I also need in our lives. First of all, he had a visible walk with God. It would seem that Enoch lived a life that demonstrated the faith that was in his heart. He didn't say one thing and walk a different way. His life was consistent. His life was completely dedicated to God. He walked with God for nearly 300 years. Think about that. 300 years. You look at chapter 5 there in Genesis and some of the other men that did outstanding and remarkable thing. Enoch, to me, he stands out because he walked consistently with God for 300 years. That's a long time. That's quite an achievement. But that's the kind of walk that we all need today. We need to walk consistently with the Lord and before the Lord. We should live a visible Christian life that other people would see our life and know that we are walking with God. That the Holy Spirit would say, there is a man, there is a woman whose life is pleasing to the Lord. We should just settle in and decide that we are going to walk consistently with the Lord. We should avoid the life that is hot and cold. The life as much as possible that is just up and down. We need to walk with the Lord in humility and obedience. That's the kind of life that God is looking for. That's the kind of life that pleases Him. In fact, here's God's plan for your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Christ is our example. Christ is abiding in us. His life is living through us. His life is giving us the power to live righteously and holy. We should walk the same kind of walk that Christ had. We are to show the world what we are by how we walk before them. Our life should be visible for all to see. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Enoch had a visible walk. Secondly, he had a vocal walk with God. In Jude verses 14 and 15, it tells us that Enoch was a prophet. He was the first prophet, and he preached to the people of his generation. He preached about a coming judgment and of the need for repentance. He was a hard preacher with a hard message. He was saved and he wanted others to be saved. He served God. He wanted others to serve God. He knew that judgment was coming and he wanted others to miss it. As you and I pass through this world, we need to do so with the gospel on our lips. Not only do we live a Christian life so that people can see, we also have to speak to them about the things of a Christian life, how they can receive Christ as their own Savior, how they can avoid judgment, what it's like to be a Christian. We have to live out the truth, but we also have to be careful to tell others the truth, to tell others about Jesus Christ, to tell others about his death, that he died for them, and to tell others about what his life can do for them if they would come to him by faith. We are commanded to witness. Jesus in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, his final instruction to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, he hasn't left us alone to do that. He hasn't left us powerless to do that. He's also equipped us to witness. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Therefore, let us be visible and vocal witness for the glory of the Lord. There is a dying world, and they need to hear about a living Savior. Let's tell them. While there's still time, let's tell them. Old Enoch, he had the right strategy. He had the right exit strategy. He left this world saved. He left this world suddenly. He left this world serving. What a way to go. That's how I want to go. How will you leave this world? If you had to leave today, would we be able to say at your funeral that you left this world saved? If death came suddenly, or if the rapture were to happen, would you be ready? If you left out of here today, left this world behind, would it be said about you that you left this world serving the Lord? You need a good exit strategy. Do you have one? In the introduction, I quoted two people who died without a good exit strategy. Let me finish by giving a couple of examples of people who left with a good exit strategy. In 1931, the great inventor Thomas Edison left this world. On Edison's last day, his wife leaned in close to him and asked, "Are you suffering?" "No," he replied, "I am just waiting." Edison then turned and looked out his bedroom window and softly spoke his last words. He said, "It's very beautiful over there." Sounds to me like Thomas Edison had a good exit strategy. In 1998, Carla Faye Tucker, you might remember her from the news. She had been convicted of a particularly gruesome and terrible murder. She was executed. But Mrs. Tucker received Jesus Christ while she was in prison. And before she died, she said, "I am going to be face to face with Jesus now. I will see you all when I get there. I will wait for you." Let me tell you, that's a far better way to leave the world. Confederate General Stonewall Jackson said, "Let us cross the river and rest under the shade of the trees." Now that's the way I want to leave here. No anxiety, no mystery, no worry, only peace, knowing that I'm going to be in the loving arms of my Savior. Friend, if there are problems with your exit strategy today, please get it worked out right now. Please don't even leave this building today until you get it worked out. You do not know when you might be leaving here. It pays to be ready. It pays to be ready. Are you? The exit strategy is really simple. We've made it as simple as possible. Three ways, all beginning with S. It'll happen. Be saved. Your plan is to be saved. Your plan is to go suddenly. And your plan is to go serving. I hope you can all say today that that's your exit strategy. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? How many of you today, by a raised hand, you would say, "Pastor, what you have just spoken of today is my exit strategy. I'm planning on leaving this world saved. I'm planning on leaving suddenly, and I'm planning on leaving serving. Could I see your hand this morning? Amen. 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 You could put them down. I don't know if there was one. There are so many hands here this morning. I don't know if there was even one who has a different strategy. If there was one who couldn't raise your hand. But just in case you are here today and you couldn't raise your hand, why don't you take this moment right now to plan, to get ready. If you are not saved here today, ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Right now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior. I believe that you died, that you were buried, that you rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And I believe and I trust you and you alone to bring me to heaven when I exit this world. Plan on leaving suddenly. And then plan on leaving as being a faithful servant. You might be saved, but not leave as a faithful servant. Let me tell you, you want to go as a faithful servant. You want to hear those words of commendation, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you're here today and you're not saved, get saved. If you're here today and you've been thinking that you've got a lot of time, let me tell you, you don't. You don't necessarily have a lot of time. You can't count on that. Just prepare your heart to leave suddenly. And if you haven't been serving the Lord like you know you should, why don't you just tell him that? Just be honest with him. Be open with him. "Lord, I haven't served you like I want to. I haven't served you like I know I should. Please forgive me and help me that I could have the right exit strategy when I leave this world." Father, only you know today how many prayers are being breathed. I thank you for the strategy that you have laid out for us. Lord, I thank you for those who are applying that strategy to their lives. And I pray today that if there is any, even one here today, that does not have that strategy, Lord, that they would get it before they leave. If someone here today is breathing a prayer of salvation, Lord, save their soul. Someone here has been deceived into thinking that they have a lot of time. May the Holy Spirit speak truth to their heart. The death is sudden. And if there is anyone here today who is not serving you like they should, I pray, Lord, that you would give them the grace that they might walk with you. Their walk would be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your work. Lord, that they would walk according to your ways and according to the example that you have set. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.